Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
This may not have occurred to you recently, but God has put you on this planet for a purpose. Today, He wants you to make a difference in someone's life. Next, on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to discover the difference makers from God's Word. Nobody is insignificant. Everybody needs someone, and everybody needs to be a difference maker. But not everybody is a difference maker. Not everybody makes a difference in the lives of others. Today, we're going to study the difference makers from God's Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Welcome to this edition of Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, we open God's Word together. We invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org, where you can subscribe to this program via podcast. You can also receive or read Dr. Chappell's daily devotional and enjoy and find out much more information about this ministry, Daily in the Word. Today, our series is The Difference Makers. Here's a word of introduction from Paul Chappell.
Never before in America's history have we needed men like Elijah as we do today. Elijah was a difference maker because with great boldness he stood against the wicked prophets and leaders of his day and proclaimed the truth. Today we're opening our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17 verses 1 through 5, and we're going to learn from a man who will help all of us to make a difference.
The man we learn about today is one of the great prophets of the Bible, the prophet Elijah. He was a man who made a difference in the lives of the children of Israel. He was used of God to remind them that the Lord God Jehovah reigneth. And what a great man indeed is the man Elijah. He is unique in the Bible. In fact, there are three introductory thoughts about Elijah's life that I bring to your attention this morning. First of all, he was the only man other than Enoch who did not die a natural death in the Bible. The Bible records for us in 2 Kings 2 and verse 11 that he was taken up directly into heaven in the chariot of God. And so Elijah is unique in that sense. Secondly, he is unique in the sense that he will play an important part in prophetic history as he is one of the witnesses mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 11. And Elijah will proclaim God's word during the latter days. And then the third distinction of Elijah's life is the fact that he appeared with Moses and with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible records this in Matthew 17 and verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Several days ago, we were in the northern part of Israel looking over into Lebanon, and I believe we have the shot of that, looking into Lebanon. And then just to the right we looked, and there we saw Mount Hebron, the site believed to be the place of the Transfiguration. And it was there that Elijah appeared with Jesus and Moses, and certainly a wonderful moment in Bible history, and a beautiful place to contemplate the Transfiguration. Elijah, a great prophet of God, a man mentioned over and over again with a ministry in the past and a ministry still in the future as well. God sent this extraordinary man to prophesy during extraordinarily wicked times. Some of you have studied those times. There was a king in the northern of Israel, the northern tribes, by the name of Ahab. We read about him in 1 Kings 16:33. The Bible says, "And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." Now, I want you to look at that verse in your Bible or in your notes, 1 Kings 16:33, and I want you to know that God keeps a record. I want you to take note of that. God keeps a record. And notice the record, 1 Kings 16:33, "And Ahab made a grove," that would be the high altars for the pagan deities, "and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." So Ahab was not on the good list. Ahab was a wicked king over the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And some of you know a little bit about Ahab. He had a wife, and her name was what? Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel. And let me just pause to say to the single adults here this morning that other than your salvation, the most important day in your life is the day you are married, if that's God's will for your life. The person you marry will have a great, profound influence on you for good or for evil. And Jezebel was from the Zidonian peoples, a people who did not believe in Jehovah God. They did not worship the Lord God. They worshiped various idols and pagan gods. And the chief of all was a god named Baal. And Ahab introduced to the children of Israel, God's people, Baal worship. And so Elijah ministered in the midst of a people and a culture that had turned their back on God. What a challenging day Elijah ministered in. And yet we must be reminded as we think about Elijah's life that God had a purpose for his life, and God has a purpose for our life, and God wants to use all of us to make a difference. Notice if you would in your notes, James 5:17, it says, "Elijah," or Elias, "was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." God says Elijah was like us. He had times when he was elated, times when he was discouraged. He was a man that had all the same difficulties as any other man, but he was a man of faith, a man who knew how to pray, and a man who knew how to make a difference by the grace of God. How many of you think we could learn something from Elijah this morning? He lived in 850 BC, he prophesied in a different era, in a different place, but we can learn from him this morning. And so let's dive into it this morning. Notice, if you will, first of all, Elijah's calling. This man was a God-called man, and you, as a saved man, are a God-called man. God has a purpose for your life today. And we see Elijah's calling in chapter 17. The Bible says in verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now the calling of Elijah was evidenced in two specific ways. The anointing of God was obvious upon his life. First, he had a passion to preach. He had a passion to preach. We do not hear Elijah's name prior to 1 Kings 17, but suddenly we hear about Elijah, and we don't see him even in a carpenter shop or in a tutelage type of a mentoring ministry. Immediately we see Elijah as the preacher or the prophet of God. And the name Elijah means, "My God is Jehovah." Let's say that together. My God. All right. Now he's going to preach to a people who are worshiping Baal. They're backslidden. They're away from God. and they're worshiping all other kinds of gods, and his name is, my God is Jehovah. His name might as well have been, get right with God, you bunch of heathens. Because when he said, hello, my name is Elijah, he was reminding them, your God is Baal, but I'm still following the Lord God, Jehovah. Okay. And so his very name would have been convicting. I have found that people who aren't living for the Lord get uncomfortable around people who are living for the Lord. And Elijah was kind of a guy that if you weren't living for God, you got uncomfortable around him, because even his name, Elijah, reminded you that you needed to get right with God. And he had a passion to preach. He gave a very sudden message in 1 Kings 17, and he gave a very sobering message. He goes to Ahab, this backslidden king, and he says to him, I want you to know, Ahab, that the rain is about to stop. And because of your disobedience to God, there shall be no dew nor rain according to the word of God. A very sobering message. And it was very simply stated that because of their backslidden condition, God was now going to stop giving his blessing to them. Now, my friend, listen very carefully this morning to the message. There is the law of sowing and reaping. And they had violated God's word. They had ignored God. They had turned their back upon God. And he had been gracious and patient. But now he sends the prophet to remind them of his word. His word was given before they ever entered into the promised land. He had given Moses very distinctive instructions that they were not to intermingle with other faiths. They were to stay true to him. Look in the notes in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give unto you the rain of your land that is due in season. Did you capture that in verse 13? The Bible says God wants all of our heart and all of our soul. Now, we live in a day and age with which we hear much pluralism spoken of. Many gods, many ways to God, many roads to heaven, so they say. And people say that you can believe in Jesus, and you can believe in Allah, and you can worship with the Hare Krishna and Scientology. It's just all a good, all religion is good. But my friend, in the Old and in the New Testament, that is not the way God designed his relationship with us. He said, I'm not wanting to be one of the gods on your God collection shelf. I'm not wanting some of you, part of you. God wants all of us. And the Bible says in that verse that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Well, Ahab was, you know, trying out some other gods. And so Elijah comes and he is preaching suddenly. He is preaching seriously and reminding Ahab, hey, Galatians 6:7 is our modern day application. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. Okay? And so Elijah comes with a message, and we see his calling as evidenced by the fact he had a passion to preach. There's a second evidence to his calling, and that was simply this. He had provision from above. You know, sometimes when you look at these Old Testament prophets, you'll find that they did not have a union. They did not have a denomination even. They didn't have army men. I mean, I'd be like, God, you want me to go tell Ahab, you know, how the cow ate the cabbage? I'll be glad to do it. Can I have 100,000 guys standing behind me when I say it? Maybe a few nuclear weapons. They didn't have anything. It was the prophet and God. By the way, you and God still make a majority. Did you know that? And Elijah shows up, and the provision that he's going to have is going to be solely from God. In fact, right after he makes his announcement to Ahab, God says to him in chapter 17 and verse 3, I want you to get hence and turn eastward and go down to the brook Cherith. And you've heard the story. And he goes down to Cherith and he's waiting there. And the place Cherith, the name means the cutting place. Now, I don't know exactly what God had to do for Elijah there. What did he have to cut off of Elijah? But he's waiting there. He's drinking from the brook. God's sending the manna in through the ravens. The meat is coming in airmail via the ravens. And he's taking care of his man at Cherith, the cutting place. And I don't know, perhaps after Elijah said, Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3 years. Perhaps afterwards he walked out of that place and said, what in the world did I just do? He's going to have me killed. Maybe God had to work on Elijah and strengthen his man there at the place called Cherith. And then God said, I want to send you somewhere else. I want to send you to a place called Zarephath. And we read about that in verse number 8. And the Bible speaks of Zarephath. And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Zidon was a pagan town. But in that town, there was a woman of God. And it doesn't matter how bad your neighborhood is. What matters is, how's your walk with God? And here was a woman that God was going to use to sustain Elijah. And you know the story. The word Zarephath means the melting place. Now let me have your attention this morning. Some of you may be in Cherith and you may be in Zarephath. Meaning by that, God may be doing some cutting or some melting in your life. You don't know why you're going through the trial. You're tempted to become angry about it. You're tempted to get bitter instead of better. You don't understand the cutting. You don't understand the melting. But I want to remind you that Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. And all things still work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And God sent Elijah to Zarephath, and God used, of all things, a widow woman who was on her last meal to take care of him. How humbling would that be? And God said, Elijah, I'm going to take care of you. And of course, he took care of the woman, met every need of this giving woman's life. And in studying Elijah's life, we begin to see the reality of his calling. It is shown to us in his desire to preach. It is shown to us in God's providing and meeting his need. This was the man of God, and his name was Elijah. But we see not only his calling, I want you to see secondly this morning, his concern. You see, prophets are men with a burden. Jeremiah had a burden. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He was so burdened for Israel, he wept when he preached to them. And men who were prophets had a great burden for God's will in the lives of people. And it was a spiritual warfare. It wasn't a cakewalk to be a prophet. You didn't just stand before a king and say, get right with God, unless you had the power of God. It was going to be a battle. I heard of a young fellow that decided he wanted to be a boxer. And he had seen a few Rocky films. He thought, you know, that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a boxer. How many of you are like me? You see a Rocky film, you say, I'll leave that for someone else. You know, I'll be the water boy, the trainer, you know, I'll be anything, but not the boxer. But this guy said, I'm going to be the boxer. He went up to sign up for some lessons. He signed up for 26 lessons. He came the next day, he had his warm-up suit on, and he'd been practicing. He came for his first lesson in boxing, and so they taught him a few moves. Then they put him into the ring. They wanted to see what he had, and boy, he was there. But pretty soon, the guy in the ring gave him a right hook, and then a left hook, and then to the body. And boy, I tell you what, after that first lesson, he had two black eyes. He was bent over. And he went up to the guy running the ring there, and he said, there's 26 lessons, right? The guy said, yeah, that's right, 26 lessons. He said, they're all going to be pretty much like today. Yeah, that's right, every day we're going to give you some lessons like that about how to be a boxer. And the student thought about it. He said, I was wondering, could I have those other 25 lessons by correspondence? Is there a man in the room that would like to get out of the ring today? Is there a woman in the room who says, hey, it's too hard trying to be a real Christian at work? Is there a mom or a dad that says, hey, this thing of parenting is not for me. I just really don't want to bear the burden of being a parent, a husband, a wife, a good Christian. I want out of the ring. Is there anybody here trying to quit today? It's not always easy to bear a burden. It's not always easy to care, to love, to give when you don't receive back. But Elijah, though he was getting nothing from Ahab or Jezebel or the people, couldn't shake his burden because it was a God-given concern. And he was concerned for a couple of very important reasons. First, he was concerned because of Ahab's perception. Ahab was a man who perceived Elijah and Elijah's message to be very problematic. Turn over to chapter 18, if you would, in verse 17. You've got to see this. Ahab says in chapter 18 and verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Would you say those words with me, please? Art thou he that... Now, this is typical of a man or woman of God not right with God. And they will see the person who's trying to help them as the problem. Ah, here they come to visit me again from the church. They're just bugging me. The pastor, every time he preaches, just looks right at me. Now, I wish I knew who was thinking that today, because we'd have fun this morning. When you're not really close to the Lord, you get really uncomfortable around people that are trying to love you back to the Lord, and you either come back to the Lord or you get back out with the old crowd. And Ahab sees Elijah come and says, are you the one that's causing the problems around here with all that Bible thumping? You see. And that was a concern to Elijah. He saw a king who viewed his ministry as the problem. That happened to Paul in the first century, Acts 24:5. For we have found this man, they said of Paul, a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. I mean, Paul was a strong preacher and many people saw him as a pestilent fellow, you see. If I were to go to the state capitol this morning and set up a little pulpit and begin to preach, and if I was to preach against the establishment of Harvey Milk Day, or if I was to preach against certain laws or certain attitudes or beliefs of some of the lawmakers, if I were to stand up and preach that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, if I were to just spend an hour or two just preaching the Bible, there would no doubt be some people in the state house who would say, look at that troublemaker out there saying all that. Why, he needs to take tolerance classes. He needs some sensitivity training. He is a ringleader of the problems around here. Now, that's about what Elijah was facing. He was standing before Ahab saying that you have turned the nation away from God, and yet for being faithful to God, Ahab perceived him as the problem. Listen to me. If you really love people and you intend to intervene on their behalf and love them back to God, they might at first see you as the problem, not the solution. But Elijah was willing to face that. Secondly, he was concerned because of the nation's problem. He was concerned about his nation. Notice, if you would, in verse 18 of chapter 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. You see, Elijah was so burdened that Israel had turned to Baal and turned their back on God. And so it was that they had forsaken the Lord's commandment. They were following the false gods. They were worshiping false gods. And Elijah's heart was broken over what had taken place in the northern tribes. Several days ago, we visited the ancient city of Dan. And of course, as a young boy growing up, I've always looked at the Bible maps. Do you have maps in the back of your Bible? And once in a while in youth group, the youth leader would say, turn your Bibles to the book of maps. And sometimes during preaching, I would look at the maps and just kind of as a boy, kind of try to figure it out. And sure enough, right there, during the kingdom years map, there's this city of Dan, D-A-N. It was one of the chief cities of the northern kingdom. We had the privilege of going to Dan, and it was there that Jeroboam reigned. And Jeroboam did something that was displeasing to God in setting up a northern temple, if you will, a place of worship. And there at the city of Dan, they began to offer sacrifice to the pagan deities. We read about it in Judges chapter 18 and verse 30. The Bible says, and the children of Dan set up a graven image, and Jonathan the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. Some of you who've studied it out, you know there was only one tribe that was supposed to provide priests. It was the tribe of Levi.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. Pastor Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is The Difference Makers. We're studying how to make a difference from the Word of God. Friend, we have a gift for you when you call or write to us this month. It's our way of just saying thank you for listening. It's a little booklet written by Dr. Chappell entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference. Once again, Leaders Who Make a Difference. This encouraging booklet explores the lives of three great Bible leaders and how they made an eternal difference. Your heart will be challenged by the vision of Joshua, the passion of Nehemiah, and the faith of Joseph. Again, it's the book entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference. It's our gift to you during the series and this month when you call or write to us here at Daily in the Word. You can visit us at dailyintheword.org and shoot us an email. Let us know that you're listening. While you're on the site, be sure to find out more information about our ministry, subscribe to the daily podcast, subscribe to the devotion, and just generally let those resources encourage your spiritual growth. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Or you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. And again, all of this information can be found at dailyintheword.org. Thank you so much for listening today, and until next time, have a great day.